In this segment, we will begin our discussion of clinical decision support with a focus on historical perspectives. In looking back at historical perspectives, we see that many of the early approaches to clinical decision support focused on the application of artificial intelligence and expert systems with the aim of improving medical diagnosis. Diagnostic decision support was a major focus of the field of biomedical informatics in its early days in the 1970s and 80s. However, computer-aided diagnosis proved to be very difficult, and it became apparent that computers could be better used in a more focused way, aiming to reduce errors and improve quality. The early work did lay the intellectual groundwork for techniques that are used in modern clinical decision support and shifted the focus to decision support more in therapeutic areas. With the availability of data that's becoming available in modern electronic health records, however, the older approaches may yet be useful in the future. So let's define some terms, at least for this segment. Artificial intelligence, or AI as it's sometimes called, is the area of computer science concerned with building computer programs that exhibit characteristics associated with human intelligence. This field has undergone many transitions over the years and really is not a major part of computer science anymore, although a lot of its techniques have been accommodated into all sorts of computer applications. Expert systems were a type of computer program that were developed using AI techniques that actually attempted to mimic human expertise to be an expert. Decision support systems backed off from being the complete expert and attempted to play more of a supportive than independent role. Sometimes people break decision support down into areas of diagnostic decision support, so focused on aiding in the diagnosis of patients, and therapeutic decision support focused on aiding in the treatment. So let's take a trip back in history. Many of the very early efforts in medical informatics arose out of simultaneous work that was going on attempting to quantify medical diagnosis. As mathematical techniques and computing were developed in the 1950s, it was felt that medicine could benefit from a more quantitative approach to diagnosis. So some early pioneers were Ledley and Lusted, who actually proposed a mathematical model for medical diagnosis. And they modeled clinical findings using some mathematical techniques we won't actually go into detail on, but set theory and symbolic logic. This then enabled diagnosis to be made using probabilities. Homer Warner from the University of Utah, another early pioneer in the field, developed a mathematical model for diagnosing congenital heart disease. And again, developed a quantitative approach that used a contingency table with diagnoses in the rows and symptoms in the columns. And then the system could predict the diagnosis with the highest conditional probability given a set of symptoms. Now, if you don't know all these mathematical terms, don't worry, but the point here is that there was a belief, a motivation, that medical diagnosis could be made using purely quantitative mathematical types of reasoning. This logical approach then gave rise to some of the very early applications in medical informatics, which were diagnostic expert systems. There were a number of different approaches taken. I'm going to describe them briefly, And the functions of the systems were tightly linked to these types of knowledge representation. So one type of expert system approach was the clinical algorithm approach. Now, we've always used clinical algorithms in medical diagnosis. We continue to do so. And in essence, we follow a path through a flowchart. And so we gather data. These are sometimes called, in flowcharts, information nodes. And then when we reach the point of needing to make a decision, we get to a decision node, and we may choose yes or no depending on the data that we have. So using clinical algorithms, some early informatics researchers built computer systems around them that would step through the algorithms and give advice. There were many benefits. The knowledge in the algorithms is very explicit. You follow the pathway through the algorithm, and that makes the knowledge easy to encode. But there are limitations to clinical algorithms, as anyone who has ever used them in clinical practice knows. You can't really deviate from the pathway of the algorithm. So you may have some prior results that are not part of the algorithm that you can't take into account. There may be new etiologies or causes of disease, new treatments that you can't pursue because they're not part of the algorithm. So in essence, you can't really generate any new algorithm. You can just follow the steps. Now, clinical algorithms are the forerunners of modern practice guidelines, which we will discuss in Unit 7. Another large line of work in expert systems focused on the application of Bayes' theorem, or the usage of Bayesian statistics, as we sometimes say. And again, the mathematics is complicated. We're not going to go into it in any detail, but in essence, the idea behind Bayes' theorem is that we can calculate a probability of something, such as a diagnosis of a disease, that is based on a prior probability, what our prior belief was, and then updated with new information, and that changes our probabilities. There are some important assumptions of Bayes' theorem that actually make it somewhat limiting in medical diagnosis. One is the conditional independence of findings. So that is, there's assume that there's no relationship between different findings for a given disease. Of course, we know in many clinical conditions there are relationships between findings. They are manifestations of the disease. And another assumption of Bayes' theorem is mutual exclusivity of conditions. So in essence, more than one disease does not occur. But despite those limitations, you can still use Bayes' theorem to give you probability information about particular medical tests or situations where you have good underlying probability information. So again, we're not going to go into the mathematics other than to show you the formula, but in essence, what Bayes' theorem says, and the kind of generalized form of it, is that the probability of disease I in the face of evidence D out of a set of a possible J diseases is this formula that you see here. And translating that into English, the probability of a disease given one or more findings can be calculated from the prior probability of the disease, so what our estimate or calculation was before we had our new information, and then the probability of these new findings occurring in the disease, and that then gives us a new probability for the disease. So, did anyone actually use Bayes' theorem successfully? Well, there's a lot of diagnostic test characteristic literature that uses Bayes' theorem, but did anyone actually implement it in an expert system? And it turns out someone did. There was the Leeds abdominal pain system developed in England by de Dombal and colleagues.
and the LEADS system was used to diagnose acute abdominal pain. The system, at least on test cases, performed better than physicians with an accuracy of 92% compared to clinicians having an accuracy of 65 to 80%. And the LEAD system was better in 6 of 7 disease categories. So when a patient presented to the emergency department with abdominal pain, the LEAD system was more accurate in terms of the ultimate diagnosis. Now, what happens in the emergency department when someone comes in with acute abdominal pain of unknown etiology? They go to the operating room and the diagnosis is made by surgery. So even though the LEAD system was better at making this diagnosis, its overall role in the disease process was limited. However, because of this success, there were attempts to take the LEAD system and move it to other locations. It turned out this was very difficult. The system was difficult to use, as were all computer systems from the 1970s that had command line interfaces and no graphical interfaces. And the Bayesian probabilities were different in different locations, so the system did not achieve the same accuracy. And this was written up extensively in a very interesting to read book by Mark Berg, part of which was his PhD dissertation. So again, the limitations of Bayesian statistics are that the findings in a disease are usually not conditionally independent. Diseases themselves may not be mutually exclusive, but perhaps most important from a computational standpoint, when you start to have multiple findings that are important in a diagnosis and multiple diagnoses, you reach high computational complexity quickly, and for that reason, large-scale use of Bayesian statistics has not really occurred in any kind of diagnostic computer system. So then our third form of diagnostic expert system looked at what were called production rules. These are if-then rules, which of course are used quite extensively now in many therapeutic decision support applications. In the production rule approach, the system would combine evidence from different rules to arrive at a diagnosis. And the systems, when expert systems used rules, they were called rule-based expert systems. And there were two types. There were backward chaining systems, where the system would constantly pursue a goal and then ask questions to try to get to that goal state. Or forward chaining, where the system would follow a prescribed path, in essence similar to clinical algorithms attempting to read to reach the answer. So the generic rule was if test X shows result Y, then conclude Z, where Z may be some sort of diagnosis, and oftentimes there would be a certainty factor. So the first rule-based expert system in medicine was one called Meissen. Meissen was actually the PhD dissertation of Ted Shortliff, the first author of your textbook, and really was one of the first applications in medical informatics, and it certainly spawned a great deal of work. I mean, many people were, in the 1970s and 1980s, were attempting to build rule-based expert systems. So the Meissen system that Shortliff developed attempted to diagnose two infectious diseases, meningitis and bacteremia, the latter being infection of the blood. It used a backward chaining approach, and it asked questions, sometimes seemingly relentless, in its attempt to reach a diagnosis. So how did Meissen do? Well, it was evaluated. A paper published in JAMA in 1979 looked at 10 cases of meningitis that were assessed by physician experts in Meissen and then the output was judged by other physician experts who were experts in meningitis. The recommendations of the experienced physicians were judged acceptable 43 to 63% of the time, compared with 65% of the time for mycin. And in no cases did mycin fail to recommend an antibiotic that would cover the infection, even if it was not necessarily the optimal choice. So again, we had a system here that, at least in the pure diagnostic task, outperformed humans. So why was mycin not used everywhere? Well, this gets to some of the limitations of rule-based expert systems. First of all, sometimes the depth-first searching that the backward chaining uses can lead the system way off in the wrong direction. And of course, that's not something you would want to have happen for a clinician. Also, the rule bases were large and difficult to maintain. So mycin had 400 rules just for those two types of bacterial infection. And any time one rule was changed, the system would have to be retested to make sure it still reached the same conclusions with test cases. And the mycin approach actually worked better in much more constrained domains, such as pulmonary function test interpretation. But in general, these rule-based systems were slow. They were time-consuming to use. Of course, again, we're still in the pre-graphical user interface era. But even if there were graphical user interfaces, the system was slow. The goal-seeking could take a long time. And really, the system, because it just covered two types of bacterial infection, did not really provide the general usefulness in an ordinary clinical setting.